You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan, and today we're discussing the rise of homelessness among senior women in San Francisco. KALW's Rose Aguilar spent months researching this issue for an article in The Nation magazine. I asked her what got her looking at this particular homeless population.
I decided to start doing this research after riding the bus at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning about a year ago. I was sitting next to an older woman. At that time, it's mostly people leaving bars, so it's unusual to see a woman on the bus that late at night. I sat next to her, and I started talking to her, and I said, "Do you mind me asking where you're going?" And she said, "I'm going to a 24-hour coffee shop out in the Richmond District." And I said, "Why? It's 3 in the morning." And she said, "Well, because the owner lets me sleep there, and I can't find a shelter for the night." And I said, "How common is this?" She said, "Go to coffee shops. You'll find us." And that never left my mind. And so that's why I decided to start doing some research. I spent 3 months going to shelters, to food banks, to incredible places like St. Anthony Foundation. And there are homeless women all over the city, but they're invisible. Because when you think about what you see on the streets, there are so many homeless people on the streets, but 95% of them are men. Because it's too dangerous for women to live on the streets. You're almost 100% guaranteed to be assaulted if you're a homeless woman on the streets of San Francisco.
And that's one of the things that you actually found in your research, is that these women all had suffered some sort of sexual assault.
Yes, they've all suffered sexual assault, especially as young girls or teenagers. It's an overwhelming majority of women on the streets have been sexually assaulted.
And so tell me about some of these women that you met.
Well, I went to the Mission Neighborhood Resource Center, and in order to get a shelter bed, you have to stand in line at about 4 in the morning. So imagine
4 a.m.,
because there's a lottery system, and you'll get a number at 7 a.m. You'll find out if you have a bed. So you need to be in the front of the line, because the line is usually so long.
So you wait in the cold for 3 hours in order to get a bed?
Yes.
For that night?
That's right, on the sidewalk in the dark. And if let's say you're in a shelter in Hunters Point, and you've got to go to a place in the Mission to get a lottery ticket, you've got to get on the bus to do that. And then let's say you do get the bed, but you can't go to the shelter until 5. So you've got all that time to kill. Maybe you were in the library yesterday, so today you don't want to do that. So you jump on BART and you ride it 4 hours, and you might end up falling asleep, and you'll end up in Fremont. And I met so many women who ride Muni and BART because it's safe for them. And it's warm, and they can fall asleep, and no one usually will bother them. It's really important to note that these women don't, quote, look homeless. They take really good care of themselves. They don't have tattered clothing. They don't smell. I mean, we've got that image of the screaming homeless man on the corner that we see in the media. These women, you don't know. They might be sitting next to you on BART, and you won't know it. So then you take BART. You might go to a place for a free lunch. You will not go hungry in San Francisco. There are a lot of options here. You get a free lunch, and then you have some more time to kill. You go to the shelter at 5. So Marcia is 56, and she was taking care of her older mother, like so many women that I met do or did. And the mom passed away. She and her sister were supposed to share the money from the sale of the home. The sister took the money and left the state. Marcia said she got hit by a car and is now having trouble walking, and none of her relatives or friends will help her. And I heard this over and over again. It was shocking the first few times I heard it, but now that I've heard it so many times, it's no longer shocking. Yes, I have children. I've got friends, and none of them are helping me. So Marcia is living off of about $800 a month in $900 in Social Security. She lived in a single room occupancy. This is basically, it looks like an old motel. You've got a single room. You might have a stove, but you don't have a fridge, nowhere to cook. Half of her money was going to the SRO. The other half was going to food. At the end of the month, she would be left with $10. She said she's never been so poor. She said the SRO was filthy. There were holes in the ceiling so the person above her could see her. There was a guy that lived next door who never went to bed, so she couldn't get a good night's sleep. So she left the SRO, and the only other option is the shelter.
But why is that a better option? I'm curious.
Well, she didn't really know it was out there. She just knew that she couldn't live on $10 a month. And the SRO was filthy. She said, "I've never lived in these kinds of conditions."
So you're saying that she can sort of survive on that $900 or $800 and keep herself in good condition
Outside of the SRO?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she didn't know what else was out there, so she just decided to leave because she got so irritated by the whole process.
Assuming she'd find something good.
Exactly. So I would see her on a regular basis in line to get a shelter, at a senior center eating lunch. Sometimes she'd get a bed, and when she didn't get a bed, she would go to Oshun, which is now called a woman's place. And this is a shelter that really shocked me because there are 45 women in this. It's supposed to be a walk-in center, but a lot of women stay there, again, because it's a safe place to be, but they're sleeping in chairs.
In these plastic chairs, it was sort of a metaphor for, you know, these, like you said, these kind of discarded people.
Right. And the city has since replaced the plastic chairs with cushioned chairs. So now we've got women sleeping in cushioned chairs at this shelter.
And your research, you found that according to Hearth, an organization working to end elder homelessness, that the country had 40,750 homeless people, 62 or older, in 2012. And you found that this population of elderly homeless women is very likely to increase. Why?
Right. They say it's going to double by 2050. All of the advocates I've interviewed say these numbers sound incredibly low because the numbers are exploding. We've got the baby boomer generation is aging. Every second in this country, someone turns 60. That's a lot of older people. The social safety net has been shredded. If you have a retirement, it's probably been sliced in half because of the economic crisis. And they want to raise the retirement age in Washington. People are finding that they just don't have options and they're running out of money. I met a lot of people who simply said, my bank account went dry. I got a divorce and I wasn't dealing with finances. I just never expected to be in this situation. It's really important to point out that I was only able to interview women who could sit down with me for hours at a time and meet me on multiple occasions. I couldn't interview people with mental illnesses because within a couple of minutes of the conversation, they would either yell at me, they would change their story, or they just didn't make sense. So I was really only able to interview people who 5 years ago never thought they'd be in this situation. And I didn't expect to find this. They're really easy to find. I'm afraid that politicians really don't know what's coming because the advocates that I've interviewed said, the demand is so high. We're bursting at the seams. We don't have enough beds. And we're seeing so many more older women.
And Rose, one of the things that's different about older people who are homeless is that oftentimes they have illnesses or disabilities.
Right. And maybe no health care, or they have some health care, Medicare, if you're at 65. A lot of the women I met are right around 50-ish, early 60s. They look to be sometimes 70 because it ages you so quickly. And think about this. When you take an overnight flight for 8 hours, your body hurts, right? Think about sleeping in a chair every night. It leads to gout, chronic back pain, arthritis, swollen ankles. And then think about how you might have a suitcase that you have to drag, and then you might have a bad knee, and you're taking 3 or 4 buses just to go from shelter to shelter to get a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner. That's the other thing, Holly. I didn't know how hard it was to actually live on the streets. I mean, you're constantly just trying to figure out where you need to go next and what is open and what happens on Sunday when most homeless centers are closed. Where do you go at that point?
That was one of the things that I noticed in your article that you said is like the weekends are the worst,
right,
as they said.
Because the centers aren't open and there aren't many places to go other than the library. You can still get on BART, but riding BART all day, I mean, you want a place where you can actually engage, because I found that the Mission Neighborhood Resource Center has Ladies Night on Tuesdays, and it allows women to just get off the streets and just be a woman. You can dance. They crank up the music. You can have a massage. You can get a new pair of clothing. And I've gone on many occasions, and these women say, it's just a break from the hell that I have to deal with on a regular basis.
You're listening.
listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan, and today we're discussing the rise of homelessness among senior women in San Francisco. KALW's Rose Aguilar spent months researching this issue for an article in The Nation magazine. I asked her what she thought was contributing to increased homelessness among older women.
Well, in San Francisco, you can't really get a studio now for under $2,000 a month. That's a major problem. But affordable housing across the country has been slashed. So the Western Regional Advocacy Project put together a paper that looked at how we got here. And this is kind of shocking. Between 1978 and 1983, the Department of Housing and Urban Development's budget, HUD, was slashed by 77%. So every time I ask these advocates, what do we need to do? Every single time they say, we need affordable housing. That is the solution here. We don't have any. In San Francisco, there are 27,000 people on the public housing list alone. Where do you put a woman who's making $900 a month in Social Security? Or if you haven't worked because you took care of your kids, maybe you get $400 a month. And the other thing is, when you look at history, I mean, we've had decades of cutbacks to social services, rising income inequality, attacks on unions, privatization. I mean, all of this has also contributed to this problem.
And what kind of resources are out there? Who's addressing this problem?
There are amazing organizations. You've got the Senior Action Center that advocates for seniors, St. Anthony Foundation. I would go there at lunch and I was blown away just by, I have to say, the generosity and the warmth of these volunteers mostly. I mean, you get people showing up without shoes to have a lunch and there's no judgment and they'll say, oh, what size are you? They make a phone call. All of a sudden, a size 8, new pair of shoes appears. No questions asked. The Cannon Kipp Senior Center provides lunches and games. I mean, there are organizations that are doing amazing work. They're doing so much.
Is it coordinated between them? I'm just wondering, because you talked about, you know, women having to wait in one neighborhood to get on this voucher, to win the lottery, to have a voucher for a bed that night that might be in a totally different neighborhood. Like, what's the coordination like?
Well, that's one of the complaints, is that this specifically lottery system needs to be done away with. The women and the men that I interviewed said they want to be able to do it over the phone so they don't have to be somewhere physically and then be able to do it from the place they had just slept that night so they don't have to get on the bus. Other really quick fixes. For example, Marcia said, why am I on the same floor as people with mental illnesses? They need nurses. They need care. And some of the people that I'm on the floor with are trying to get up the next day to go find a job. But it's really hard if you haven't had a good night's sleep. Why am I on the same floor with men at an SRO? I don't feel safe. I mean, there are really easy fixes that can take place. Of course, the affordable housing sounds like, how would we even tackle this in this country? But a lot of the advocates say, look at military spending. You give me 1 month of what we are spending overseas on the military, I could house every woman, man, and child in this country in luxurious housing for 1 year. So they say we can do it. It's just, where's the political will?
So where is the political will? I mean, you had said that you thought that people didn't really know about this and that a lot of the time these women are invisible because they're trying to be invisible because they don't want to appear to be homeless and they want to have as much of a normal life as possible. So how much do we need to sort of raise awareness about the fact that this is happening?
Well, that's part of the problem. After I wrote this story, I got so many emails from women who said, I'm on the verge of homelessness. Mm-hmm. And I got emails from people who said, I had no idea. This is shocking. And when I did speak with a few San Francisco politicians, and Bevan Dufty, the homelessness czar, said he's willing to talk with the women and talk with their case managers and try to get them permanent housing. But he said, the fact is, we just don't have it because 27,000 people are on our public housing waiting list. And then I also interviewed Amanda Kahn-Fried, who's the policy director at HOPE for San Francisco. And she basically said, yeah, we know some of these people can't get out of bed by themselves. They can't take themselves to the bathroom. So we are looking at an idea of putting nurses in the SROs so they can help take care of these people.
Why did somebody like Marcia that you talked to that was on a fixed income, 800 or 900?
900.
Why not move to a place where you can get an apartment for that?
Well, that's, I think, where she is now, because I haven't been able to find her. Last time I talked to her was, I think it was in late November, and she said she wanted to go to Reno because she heard that It's cheaper in Reno. A lot of people come here because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
It's warmer. And in fact, I met people who said that they were given a bus ticket and told, go to San Francisco. You will find food, you'll find some shelter, and you'll be taken care of.
So what, other cities are actually giving people bus tickets to San Francisco?
That's what I heard in a lot of the shelters I visited. I even heard people in Oregon who said they were sent down here. Heard from people in Oregon who were sent to San Francisco.
But the cost of living is so much higher here.
I know. But we have this reputation of having a lot of services and being a friendly city to homeless people. So that's
relative to other places in the country. And you're talking about this population that are women sort of between 50 and 65 so that they don't already have Social Security.
Exactly.
So not everybody's got a fixed income.
Right. Not everybody has a fixed income. And I've been meeting women who have not had outside of the home jobs. They raise their children and they're getting $400 a month on Social Security. That is, there's no way you can live off of that.
So, Rose, you spent 3 months talking to these women, researching this. What kind of was the ultimate takeaway for you?
A lot of people are one paycheck away from homelessness. And the emails that I've received in response to this article, a lot of women said, I never thought I would be in this situation. I never thought that I would be afraid. That could be me. But again, because I interviewed women who were not homeless 10 years ago, every single one of them said, I am shocked that I'm actually talking to you about this right now. Marcia said, I cannot believe I'm in this situation. I never thought I would be here. And I don't think society realizes what's coming because a lot of these people are one paycheck away from homelessness. And the average Social Security check, I think, is around 900. I hear 900 constantly. How can you live on 900? Even if you're in a place like Reno, where the cost of living is much cheaper than San Francisco. Food's not that much cheaper. It really isn't. Public transportation isn't that much cheaper. So I think at the end of the day, the question we need to ask is, what are we going to do with the older population that is struggling and cannot make ends meet? Are we going to let them die on the streets? Let them sleep in chairs like they are now? I mean, that's the question that we really need to ask. And we're not. We have to start this conversation.